What's that sound? That's the sound of the Stasi Apollo Bureau. I mean, DHS. I mean, the FBI. I mean, NSA. I mean, you're listening to Waking Up Orwell. And this may probably be the last podcast indefinitely for a long time because they've got flying robots that can kill you from the sky. The government has those now, and I'm not saying it's tough to beat. I'm just saying that's pretty tough. So what we did was, how you fight back at that anyone has any ideas or would even try, we decided to call up Amy Stepanovich from Epic. There's always going to be somebody who has reservations or kind of a contest with the philosophy or the direction of a government action. You know, there's even conflicts within organizations on whether or not they should, based on legalisms like, oh, well, how long will this petition go in the Library of Congress, and will it be a public record forever? And in the meantime, there's like, you know, screaming robot drones flying around that are armed that can probably kill people. And then there's people that are weird who have flying robots that they can employ on their own private property to watch others. Like Google. Google could do it. And they have... Anyone remember that satellite business with the Google Earth? Well, now they could get really personal. You know, and they can make their own circle for their drone and name their drone and... Oh, God. I mean, there's still bad stuff out there. There's still national ID card programs, which are, you know, Stasi-esque, that are trying to keep coming out of the ground and trying to rape us for information. You know, case in point, you've got the collusion of Google Plus and Facebook coming together with the German architects of the internet, to bring forward their own online ID for their countrymen. And I think that it's policy laundering again, a la NimWars, a la Real ID, care of China, for the net, because they couldn't get it done over there. But Germany went for it because they have a national ID card program, and they're kind of famous for that stuff. And because that's where that idea actually came from. So... all I'm saying to you is that there are people in Washington that want this way worse than you do. And we, who are the people, often don't have as much cash. So I have to resort by example to do strange things. Case in point, Janice Kephart, who is the lobbyist for Center for Immigration Studies, decided that she was going to drop a load of crap on my... Waking Up Orwell space, you know, saying, they're going to have 36 states with a real ID if people go for it, if people don't opt out, if people go for it. And it's still banned in 25 states. You know, it's FRT, which is a facial recognition technology. And, you know, the only thing that would move their agenda ahead, I think that would really scare the crap out of everyone who realizes that big data is closing up on us pretty fast, is the use of the EVVE system in conjunction with Real ID. So that will bring all of the systems together. That would bring the labor concurrent with the driver's license and the voting and everything else. So, you know, it's on you to continue to oppose E-Verify. 5-Eleven's out of cash, so until we get our stuff together and until we sell that book or get that blockbuster movie going, I think it's going to be... It's sad news, it is, but that's the truth. As it turns out, I'm exactly like you. No, I'm not a superwoman with, you know, amazing radioactive golden underwear that gives me superpowers and makes me able to, like, knock the teeth in of strange, insane lobbyists who are completely corrupt. Real ID and National ID and E-Verify and all that stuff is an information security disaster. you know, American identity shouldn't be broadcasted through a mass system involuntarily in this manner, and that it's American identity that is most going to be squashed underneath this boot heel, not the little tiny poor Mexican that they so hate so much. They hate us. They hate anybody who isn't them. Which brings me back to flying killer robots in the sky. We invited Amy Stepanovich from Epic to come in and talk to us. Again, I have to apologize. It's going to be an interrupted segment because another robot, the NSA robot, cut me off again. And then I had to call her back on myself. So heads up. It's already happened. So we're trying to find another technical end around so I can continue doing stuff at Godzilla government. So it'll be much better, meaning, like, we'll get to talk about other things than just surveillance and crazy 1984 craziness. So it'll help. I think it'll help other people a lot, because I have other perspectives. You may not agree with them either. So I'm going to move into our interview, and I just wanted to start with a news item. This is from the BostonHerald.com. Heads up, drones are going mainstream. Civilian cousins of the unmanned military aircraft have tracked and killed terrorists in the Middle East and Asia are in demand by police departments, border patrols, power companies, news organizations, and others wanting a bird's eye view that's too impractical or dangerous for conventional planes or helicopters to get. Along with enthusiasm are the qualms. Drones overhead can invade people's privacy. The government worries they could collide with passenger planes or come crashing down on the ground, concerns that have slowed more widespread adoption of the technology. Despite that, pressure is building to give drones the same access as manned aircrafts to the sky at home. For further discussion on the issue, we've brought over, again, Amy Stepanovich from Epic, Electronic Privacy Information Center, to give us more of an analysis on the condition. We are trying to figure out what the deal is with drones and why it is that our government decided to green light drone use at this time, the strategic time in American history. Why do it now?
Well, you're finding out as the war is winding down in Iraq, and drones have typically only really advanced, technologically speaking, in times of war. So you have a lot of manufacturers out there who have put a lot of money into the development and manufacture of these devices, things that can, you know, fly in the air without a pilot. And now the demand is starting to go down, and you're looking and you're saying, well, where is there another market, and how can we create a market? And I think that market is going to be in the United States and able to be used domestically for the first time widely by both corporations and private citizens and the government.
How did this actually happen? Because a lot of people don't know how drones became legal. Can you give us just a really brief read on what happened that made drone use legal?
Well, drone use never technically was illegal. What it is the FAA is charged from Congress with, you know, keeping the airways safe, keeping the airspace safe. So the FAA has had some issues with drones because they tend to crash a little bit more. They aren't as safe as normal aircraft where you have a pilot, so he can respond to threats very quickly. So the FAA has kind of gone back and forth with what can fly and how drones can be used. And up until just recently, that meant that the government had to apply for a special waiver and explain what they were going to use a drone for in order to use it. And private companies could only use them in what's called an experimental designation with lots and lots of restrictions. Congress has decided that it is now time to step up drone use in the United States. So they've told the FAA that these rules should be broadened and they should promote drone usage. So now new rules are going to come out. Open this up.
Here is the part of the interview where the NSA flagged the words drone use and snapped off the connection, making it awkward for me to discuss why this happened with Amy. Let's continue. So we all have our little battles that we kind of struggle with in terms of privacy. But thankfully, we've got Amy back on the line, and she is ready to tell us about drone usage. And after that, I'll probably get into some of the privacy conventions, which may be problematic. So, Amy, are you with us?
I'm here. Okay, so continue with your, you know, what's the issue with drone usage?
Well, drones have two huge issues that differentiate them from technology that came before, which is mainly helicopters or manned aerial surveillance. And that's, first of all, is they can be a lot smaller. So drones actually can be small enough to fit inside a purse if it's, you know, one of the larger size purses that people carry around, which means that they can maneuver a little better. They can peer into windows, and with some of the technology, they not only can peer into windows, but maybe through walls and through other barriers. Drones can also fly very high. So you have the smaller drones, and then the drones that are made to kind of fly way up in the air. So when you look up, you can't really see that they're there, and you don't know that they're watching you. So these two aspects of drones themselves allow them to be present a bigger threat, and that's even before you start outfitting them with some of the technology that they can be that they can hold.
Okay, so I can see how if someone is being observed from, you know, a bird's eye view, which is really unfair, and they're getting picked on either by a company or a government because they both, big companies and the government, both power trip pretty frequently. If you're just, you know, Joe Citizen who is trying to get through the day, and you're dealing with a drone that's gone AWOL or you know, decides to just follow you because they can, what do you think would happen if someone tried to, say, like, retaliate against a drone? Are they armed? Are these drones armed or not armed? What kinds of drones are the public probably going to be dealing with?
Well, there are, I mean, drones are capable of being armed, not all of them, but some of them. But what we have already actually seen just last week, people retaliating against drones. These individuals put up a drone near private property in order to monitor what was going on there. They were conducting a live pigeon shoot. And the individuals who were participating in the live vision shoot watched this drone go up and shot it back down.
That's awesome.
So we're already seeing people don't kind of have a visceral reaction to these machines watching them. They don't like it.
Oh, no. It's spy in the sky. It's about as Big Brother as you can get. Well, because, like, okay, Boeing is about 20 minutes north of here, and I'll just share with you really quickly, Obama was here nursing his campaign with Boeing's endorsement, and it's a very political time for a lot of people, and I think you stated earlier in our talk about how it's an issue of getting the public to buy in, either by way of government mandate or government green light. Mandate's a little too hard. This is more like soft sell in terms of trying to get the public to go for it in terms of government use, and the private sector to go for it because they can get access to drones and they'll buy the drones from Boeing. So he was here just north, and then he came into to Bellevue, actually, and he did a speech in, I think, the Westin Hotel. And I didn't even know he was here until a helicopter actually flew past my window, and I could see the helicopter. And unfortunately, like, I was on the couch, I had, a terrible sinus headache. So I was watching Janet Napolitano on C-SPAN trying to beat back the accusations that she was part of, you know, Fast and Furious, which is pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I watched that.
She's slick. That is a talented woman. So here comes this green chopper around the way, and it whizzes right by my window, maybe a little higher. Maybe you could be eye to eye with a 12th floor, but it came over. I'm like, wait a minute, is that Obama? And about, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes later, there was a motorcade at the next freeway overpass, and that was Obama leaving.
Big manufacturer in the United States, and they have a lot of pull, I think, and when we have an economy like this, and you're going to turn to the people who actually are working the economy, and Boeing is one of those people, and if they have a product that they'd really like to sell, and there are legal barriers to that, any product from any industry, they're going to be pushing to be able to sell it wider, and drones just are that product right now.
Okay, but, you know, is it ethical? You know, is it ethical for us to be selling drones to anyone because it'll make money?
That's a hard question. And what we're trying to do is stay out of kind of the industry aspect of it at this point and push really hard for them to say that they're, that the FAA is going to regulate these on grounds of privacy. And tell the FAA that they have to do this. They have to put rules into place that address the risk that these drones pose to society, to individuals.
So has privacy been brought up before the FAA decide, let's go ahead and open the market for drones? Was privacy an issue?
I think privacy really entered the drone conversation widely, and it was tossed back and forth because, again, these have special capabilities. But I think it started coming out last year in around November when the Customs and Border Protection Bureau, which operates 9 Predator drones,
mm-hmm.
It came out that one of their drones was being used in North Dakota by local law enforcement. CBP had lent the drone to law enforcement, and it was being used to track down individuals who had stolen some cows. And people started saying, so these are government-operated drones. They're used to patrol the border, to watch for drug smuggling and immigration issues. And now they're being used in North Dakota to help with law enforcement. And they're like, well, that goes beyond what these drones were mandated for, what their usage limitations should be. And that's when the privacy angle really came up with, you know, what are these capable of and how are they being used in the United States? People really started wondering how they were being used.
I seem to remember definitely in 2010 hearing about a Houston drone being employed by, and in Austin, for conventional police work, for routine police work.
Mm-hmm.
And I know at that point it probably wasn't approved, that they were just kind of getting away with this cool technology at this point. But, you know, it is scary because, you know, the psychology of our government right now is to take as much license with technology and try to control a lot. They're getting very bold, you know, especially with SOPA. And, you know, there's successive attempts to try to just grab as much data, manipulate back and forth so that they can try to build surveillance into our technologies. There's a lot. There's a lot going on with technology and privacy and the people. You guys are one of the ones that are actually doing something about this. What is your position today for the public, and what would you put forward in an action?
Well, on Friday, actually, we submitted to the FAA, and it was signed by over 100 organizations and experts and just regular members of the public who thought that this was an issue that needed to be addressed, a petition to the FAA, to the Federal Aviation Administration, and we told them they need to confront these safety issues and put rules out related to not only the government use of drones, but also industry and private use of drones, and confront these issues. And we told them that they had to act. And some of the issues that we really wanted them to focus on were things like property rights in relation to drones and when a trespass is going to have occurred, the ability to obtain a restraining order against a drone. So if those can be used to bypass these harassment and different laws that people use to stay away from being harassed. Use limitations, and if a drone that's registered for one use can be used for other things and what they have to go through in order to do that. And different things in that realm. And we're really pushing on the FAA to confront these issues prior to their deadline, I think in 90 days from February 14th. They're required to do the first action, and that's to open up the skies to more government drones.
Mm.
And we want them to act before that point.
It's very concerning because we've already seen kind of like how they'll abuse it, you know, even when they didn't have the FAA clearance.
Mm-hmm. Well, and right now, I think the number that we have, it's 273 current waivers exist for government operation of drones. So there are 273 drones out there being operated by the government. The Electronic Frontier Foundation has sued the FAA under the Freedom of Information Act
mm-hmm.
to obtain those waivers to see who's using them and for what purposes. Okay. They haven't been released yet, so we're not sure.
Wow.
Again, 9 of them are Customs and Border Protection. We know they have 9 that they operate.
Mm-hmm.
But those will open a significant door to how drones have been used thus far. And like you said, we know that law enforcement is using them. There's one in Houston. Miami bought one with stimulus funds to use for law enforcement, and they bought it to use in situations that might pose a danger to a real person. So like a hostage situation where somebody has a gun and they don't want to send a helicopter up with somebody in it, they can send the drone over and surveil the situation. But right now there are no use limitations on that. So they can say to purchase it that that's what it's going to be used for. But if they decide down the line to use it for surveillance of citizens, we've already seen in D.C. that law enforcement thinks that they conduct GPS surveillance of somebody for a whole month without obtaining a warrant. What if they're going to start doing drone surveillance without a warrant?
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, our government is totally cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs when it comes to technology, and they don't put any limits on themselves pre-law. You know, so it's like we got to escalate the law at a lightning fast pace, which is an entirely different conversation. But support privacy law, period. This is please support Epic and what they're doing. How do people get involved with this petition? Is it still going?
Well, we've closed it off for now. We're still taking signatures, and what we're doing is we've submitted what we have to the FAA, and we wanted to get it in as soon as possible so we could get them to act as soon as possible. But anybody who wants to add their name and their support can do so. We're taking people to email us at drones@epic.org with just their name and an email address.
Awesome.
And we're adding all of those names onto the petition so we can keep this ongoing support moving forward.
Good.
The cutoff, though, for the submission was February 24th at midnight, just because we really wanted to push it out and get it into the FAA as quickly as possible.
You know, most importantly, I hope that you guys will find a good engine for what you're doing, like change.org or care2.com, to get a populist petition going, because I know a lot more people want to interact with this idea than know about it right now. And the more awareness we create, we can definitely get more of these types of interactions going. People will respond, and it's a good issue to get behind.
This probably won't be the last petition we do. We're also pursuing this issue with Customs and Border Protection that I've been talking about, where we think that they're exceeding their use limitations by lending these drones to law enforcement. So we have a FOIA request with CBP right now asking them under what authority they believe they have to operate drones. And once we receive that information and see what the law says and how they're interpreting it, we're probably going to submit another petition telling them that they also have to accept public comments whenever they decide that they're going to change the rules under which they operate.
Okay. Amy Stepanovich, this is the Epic National Security Council. She works on issues of national security, government surveillance, digital security, and open government. Amy, thank you so much for joining us. Would you please keep us posted about your FOIA findings?
Of course, and you can always, anybody who goes to epic.org, everything that we do is put up on the website. We're a very open organization, and we really want people to know what we're doing.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for joining us on Waking Up Orwell.
Thank you. Have a great day.
So here's some bits and pieces of information. WikiLeaks discovered through the Strat4 hack that there's a secret indictment of Mr. Julian Assange. They also discovered that there was a lot of third-party information surveillance laundering, and that was basically big data collection of millions of Americans who are not doing anything wrong. They're just being watched arbitrarily by this contractor, Global Information System, i.e. Strat4. Also, the NYPD got their rear end handed to them for unwarranted surveillance of Muslim students at a local campus in New York. ABC reported the incident as disgusting. There's also the White House Privacy Bill of Rights. Common privacy is a human right being renegotiated worldwide in the digital age. And most of our right to be free of non-criminal search and seizure, also known as scrutiny, is given in the Fourth Amendment, but that's also a contest, constant contest over that Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, all the amendments, in fact. So, also a very clear effort to beat back the NDAA. Went ahead in Congress, very good effort being put forward. Many people like myself think that the regular old Bill of Rights and the Sixth Amendment can handle it, but I'm no lawyer. Who am I to say I should have a right to a speedy trial and to know what I'm accused of in a federal or a military court? But despite my plebeian attack on the law or trying to enforce it myself, I would say states around the country are picking up bills, appeal measures in the NDAA that would constitute indefinite detention of any citizen for anything at any time. If you would like your model copy of banning NDAA legislation, contact your local 10th Amendment Center, the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, or Downsize DC. Thank you very much. Constant struggle, constant struggle. So just keep your head up and know that you have it within your power to do something, and you will find out what that something is and a positive way to go about that business, because everyone has power, especially you. Let's see if we can get you into one of those NDAA ban legislations today for your state. In fact, I'll throw one in for free. I've got the Washington State bill here with a copy of their legislation of how they're going to deal back the hand they're dealt with the NDAA. Check it out. You should really look into it. By the way, I'm totally on board for this campaign to unseat Lamar Smith. Hashtag unseat Lamar Smith on Twitter. Anything you can dig up. Redistricting doesn't matter. Throw the book at him. Car keys, kitchen sink, whatever you got. Don't let that guy get his job. We don't need to pay him. Not for SOPA. Not for Real ID. Not for E-Verify. Not for any of this. Not for the DMCA. Not for the lies. Lying sack of lies. He even lied about the fact that he was from Lubbock. He said, "I'm from San Antonio." I saw him on the Texas Insider trying to make himself look good like he's from San Antonio. That man's from Lubbock. Okay, come back to my body. Okay, I'm back. The twang is gone. Yeah, dude, I cannot stand Lamar Smith. Eject him immediately from Congress. So that's it, really. I don't have any other agendas I can beat down the door at this point. For those who want to write or keep in touch, you're welcome to just go to beatthechip.org. There's an email address there. I'll just give it to you now if you want. It's beatthechip, beatthechip@gmail.com. You can also check over at the511campaign.org. It's still around. It's a vestigial twin of my work from another life and in legislation. And while I really would love for there to be a repeal legislation in the Congress, that certainly isn't happening, and it's because nobody's pushing it right now, I honestly think that people should save their money and stop paying into Congress and stop bartering with Congress, because pay-to-play sucks, and it's not real government. So if you have better ideas, or if you would like to find ways to resurrect this notion and idea in a constructive manner, then I would totally be interested in talking to you. But other than that, I will see you on the flip side. Thanks for listening to Waking Up Orwell.